Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. It's an all-pundit program with a great lineup. Cheryl Blomstrom is here, Amy Tarkanian, and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management offers workers' comp services to a growing number of industries. As businesses grow and change with the times, the need for a solid workers' comp program must be flexible and up-to-date. The evolving nature of regulations can make staying ahead of complex tasks challenging. But Pro Group Management simplifies the work so your industry can move forward and succeed. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
Nevada Newsmaker Studio is located at the headquarters of the Nevada Trucking Association. Motion and purpose are a truck's greatest virtue.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a terrific lineup on an all-pundit show here today with Cheryl Blomstrom, the political consultant, Amy Tarkanian, former Republican State Party chair, and John Sandy IV, founding partner of Argentum Partners. Pleasure to have you all here. John, I'm going to start with you. What in the world is Michelle Fiore thinking?
Well, I couldn't never answer that question for you, Sam. That's one that I don't know that anybody knows the exact answers to that. But, you know, it's not not out of character, and it's not too surprising, to be honest. I mean, her introductory video was something to behold, and it has plenty of entertainment value. I think it does add an interesting dynamic to the race. I mean, Michelle definitely has her supporters. She definitely has carved a niche within the Republican Party and has a very particular voter that she's targeting. It'll be interesting to see how that ultimately affects the overall primary. But I mean, as far as what she's thinking, I mean, gosh, that's as good as anybody's guess.
Well, the truth of the matter is that this made news in the Las Vegas Review Journal. It made the front page of the Reno Gazette Journal, Cheryl. But Michelle is jumping into a very crowded pond.
She is jumping into a very crowded pond with some really interesting skills. She is a prodigious retail campaigner.
Yes.
She reaches out and touches people at a very visceral, very basic level. And we have all watched our politics lately. We seem to be trending in that general direction. So she is definitely going to make the race more interesting.
Amy, she's apparently in a fight with Victoria Seaman. Mm-hmm. The RJ has been after her for the last couple of years. There's potentially an FBI investigation, but they never actually come out and say, right, yes, there's an investigation. She will be up for her city council seat next year anyway. What do you think she's thinking, if you can get inside the mind? And I have to point out, you know, I may not agree with everything she stands for, but I like Michelle Fiore. She's a character.
Right, and she actually is a very hard worker, so she will be out there pounding the pavement, and she does have a base, like Cheryl mentioned, and it's a pretty strong one. And we have to remember, in primaries, you have your far left and your far right that tend to have the highest turnout. So she could very easily take this primary. She will split votes with Joey Gilbert. I don't believe she'll take any votes from Sheriff Lombardo or from Senator Heller, but she will be taking votes from more of the far right. And that would be Joey Gilbert. So I think, though, the more that people jump in, maybe from Clark County, that does benefit Senator Heller, because as we know, this state, the South tends to vote more on issues, where the North tends to vote first based on geography, then issues. So, and there's also several theories about why she's running. One, you just mentioned, the FBI investigation. We do know, even though they're not giving us really too much information, that the raid did happen. And they are looking into financial situation dealing with her campaigns. So we think maybe she's just trying to take it head on. And instead of running from her problems, she's maybe going to seek empathy, public empathy, and they'll say, well, she's a gubernatorial candidate. Let's lay off of her a little bit. The second one is maybe she won't officially file for governor, and she'll try to persuade one of the other gubernatorial candidates for a unity ticket to make her look like queen of the Nevada Republican Party and be a ginormous unifier, and maybe then drop down to lieutenant governor or perhaps Secretary of State. But then the last one is she sticks to the gubernatorial race and perhaps behind the scenes is working on a President Trump endorsement, because President Trump and Dean Heller have had their back and forths, and they do not trust Joseph Lombardo because of some of his positions dealing with guns. I am friends with all of these characters, right, with all of these players, and they all have their pros and cons, and so it's going to be definitely some interesting unfoldings happening.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting Thanksgiving yes. table at your house.
It will not be boring.
So John, Joey Gilbert is drawing crowds. I mean, there's no arguing about that. But it does seem like it's a giant advertising campaign for his law firm and his real estate firm, as well as running for governor.
I mean, I think all that can be true. I mean, I think, you know, I've talked to Joey, and I know he is sincere in his desire to run a race. And I think, similar to what we just said about Michelle Fiore, I mean, I think Joey's, he's very vocal. He's very, prolific on social media, and I think he is developing a following. His problem, especially with Michelle entering the race, is that you mentioned it in just your introduction. I mean, Michelle puts out a video, says she's running, it gets front page attention from the Review Journal, from the Reno Gazette. I mean, I don't know if Joey's going to get that type of visibility, and clearly in such a crowded primary, you know, your name recognition, the ability to get out and get your message to the voters is going to be important. And you do that through publicity, or you do that through a war chest of funds that you're able to use to reach voters where they are. And I don't know that, you know, there's still a long ways to go. A lot of things could happen. But again, we said that I think Michelle and Joey kind of are targeting a similar voter. Michelle has a lot of name recognition in Las Vegas, which Joey doesn't benefit from. And so, you know, you could see it play out where, you know, Michelle gets that really far right base voter in Southern Nevada, and Joey takes that really far right base in Northern Nevada, and neither one of them are going to really have enough of the vote to compete with the Heller and Lombardo. You know, I think that should be a concern for both of their campaigns.
Yeah, and I should point out, though, that Joey Gilbert has been drawing large crowds, I think in some cases up to 1,800 people in Southern Nevada, so we don't want to discount that. So that leaves us with the conundrum, Cheryl, which is, what does Mark Amadei do? He said he'll give us his decision by the end of October, but do you think that decision is already made and that he's staying in Congress?
Left to my own devices, I would advise him to do that, because the Republicans are going to do very well in the midterms. I don't see how the Republicans don't do well in the midterms. And he is positioned really neatly to be chairing something important to our state. And I think where he is in leadership, where he has an opportunity to drive the agenda rather than react to the agenda, he shines in those situations. He's a brilliant molder of ideas and bringing people together. You know, he is not divisive, in my opinion. And I think,
well, there's a few Democrats that might disagree with you there.
Yeah, that's very true. But I think he is in the Problem Solver Caucus. He works across the aisle. He believes in legislating for the right reasons. It's not so much about power for him as it is about doing the right thing. And if he is there, I think Nevada will be really well represented in Congress.
I remember talking to Catherine Cortez Masto about 10 years ago at the opening of Station Casinos Red Rock, mm-hmm. where she was thinking about running for governor. And I thought of a time that it wasn't the right time for her. And obviously ending up working for the university system in Southern Nevada for a couple of years and then running for the Senate was the right decision. Mm-hmm. Is that the same story for Amede? Stay where you are now, get the power base that you need in D.C., and then you can pretty much run for whatever you want?
You know, that's a really good question, because Catherine, obviously, you know, whether if you agree with her politics or not, she has excelled, and she pretty much, you know, checks every box at this point of what seems to be the success recipe for the ideal politician. However, you know, Mark also, he knows numbers. He knows that this is also a numbers game, and with a crowded field, that does benefit if he were to jump into the gubernatorial race. I mean, this race literally at the primary level could be won by as little as 30,000 votes.
Yes, it takes me back, you know, to the Sharon Angle primary, where she came out on top and surprised a lot of people who thought that Sue Loudon should come through.
Or Danny Tarkanian.
Yeah, well, yeah. I did that debate, if you remember, down there in South Reno. One of the things that comes out of this, John, is that Catherine Cortez Masto has spent a lot of time, surprisingly to some, in rural Nevada, getting positive response from people who are likely not to vote for her. But at the same time, that seems interesting to me.
I think given the time of the election cycle and where we are, that makes a little bit of sense to me that you would try to target the voters that might not necessarily fall into the profile of people that you could get, but that might, if you have some outreach and you're able to get to them, you're able to open their minds to the possibility of supporting somebody that they might not be predisposed to support. So I'm sure that as we get closer to the elections, she'll probably really be pushing on the base and people that are likely to vote for her and make sure that they actually get out and vote. You just mentioned the gubernatorial race and the primary, how close that'll be. I mean, really, all these races are likely to be very, very close. We're in a midterm. Historically, the party that's in power has a more difficult time in the midterm election, and so I think that Catherine is smart to be targeting those middle of the road voters that might come over, because at the end of the day, and especially in that race, I think every vote is going to matter.
Well, and I should point out that Senate Majority PAC, which is a big Democratic PAC out of D.C. Is not only spending money right now, a year and a month before the election, they are spending huge money in Las Vegas, Reno, and Elko. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
When COVID was crushing our economy, one leader went to work. Catherine Cortez Masto passed a common sense rescue plan for small businesses, tourism, and schools. But Adam Laxalt is standing in the way. Opposing relief for Nevada's economy, says no to lower prescription drug costs for seniors on Medicare. He even opposes the expanded child tax credit for working parents. Adam Laxalt won't help Nevada or our economy. SMP is responsible for the content of this ad.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions, And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Before the masks, before the distancing, before the world changed, UMC was ready. Our response to COVID-19 began before the crisis did, with our own team of infectious disease experts who've spent their careers planning for this moment. With a pandemic response plan we'd practiced again and again, and by blazing new trails in large-scale testing, including every patient we admit. Always ready. UMC.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with this great pundit lineup. John Sandy IV is here, Amy Tarkanian is here, and Cheryl Blomstrom is here. Amy, let's mention a few more names here in the gubernatorial jamboree. Dean Heller, why?
Why?
Well, it appears if you listen to the conversation, and Dean will be on the program next week, so we can ask him in person. But there are those that say that Dean decided not to run for governor and then decided to jump in later on after others had already announced. You know, Dean had an incredible career. I mean, mm-hmm. from the Assembly, Secretary of State, United States Senator, CD2. Mm-hmm. He could have just retired after the Jackie Rosen race. And rested on his laurels. I mean, that is no matter who you are, what party you belong to, that's a great career. Why is he jumping back in, do you think?
Well, I mean, I do talk to Dean. Once again, this is another race where I am friends with pretty much everybody who's on this ticket. You know, why not Dean? Obviously, you know, you just rattled off his career, right? So he knows the ins and outs of how everything does work or how it should work. And I think that if you have somebody with that knowledge overseeing the entire state, that's a pretty good fit. And, you know, he is a Republican, but we do know if you go back and look at his voting record, he has, you know, reached across the party aisle a number of times, seems to be a pretty reasonable and rational individual, and is not afraid to talk to the media as well. And
that's 100% true.
Yes, 100%. And that's not, you know, most candidates try to run from the media, and he takes it head on. So it's good. It's important that we have somebody who knows the actual details of the job. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've maybe walked door to door and I, you know, for Secretary of State, let's use that as an example. And the voter says, well, How is this person going to fix the water shortage? Well, it's Secretary of State. That has nothing to do with water shortage. So, you know, and a lot of candidates actually don't even realize what the job entails. And he does. So I think he has a pretty good shot.
All right. So, John, the other side of that coin is that because Dean didn't jump in right away, his team, per se, is now working for Joe Lombardo, and you've got people like Sig Rogich who are on that team, and Mark Hutchison. So is that an overwhelming odds in favor of Lombardo money-wise? Will it be difficult for Dean to raise as much money as he might have otherwise?
Oh, both are tremendous questions. And those are the questions that I have that I think are going to help ultimately determine the outcome of this race. And, you know, obviously we've spent some time talking about other candidates, but let's be frank. I mean, these two are right now the top two leaders in that race. So, you know, you ask why would Dean throw his hat in after saying that he wasn't going to? I think the reason from my perspective is because he looked at it and felt that he could win. I agree with Amy too. I think, you know, Dean feels that with his skill set that he can lead this state and make it a better place. I sincerely believe that. And so, you know, those two things, him thinking he's a good candidate and looking at the race and thinking that he can win, he said, why not throw it in? And it was after he had given indication to his team and his friends that he wasn't going to. And so now they're in this really awkward spot. And I think obviously it will have an impact on his ability to raise money, especially in a primary with two, you know, several good candidates, but two leaders that would both be good candidates. I think probably a lot of the smart money will let them duke it out and then fund folks for the general election. So I do think that Dean's initial reluctance to get in the race is going to be a hurdle that he's going to have to overcome. But from what I understand the numbers to be, I mean, it is a very tight race.
So Mark Melman, Cheryl, did a poll for the Nevada Independent. Mark Melman, a very respected pollster. And what was surprising to me was that even though Lombardo and Heller were the top poll getters, should we say, in the results, that they were not huge numbers. I mean, they were not winning numbers. And especially considering that, you know, the sheriff is extremely well known in Southern Nevada, and in a bipartisan way, a sheriff, and that Dean Heller has been around so long, it just kind of surprised me that their numbers weren't stronger.
I think that is partly, at least up here in the North, and I don't observe media down South, but up here in the North, Joe Lombardo has been running mom and apple pie ads for a couple of months prior to that poll being run. So if they're polling people in the North, people are seeing this flag-waving, photogenic guy doing really, really credible ads. When his reputation starts being battered a little bit, and it will be because that's how it works these days, I wonder.
That's the way it's always worked, Cheryl.
I know, you're right. Pamphleteers. He's going to get pamphleted. And I don't know that that's going to hold.
All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more with this outstanding panel after this timeout.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and Twitter, powered by the Las Vegas Review Journal.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Events Center in Las Vegas. Host meetings and events on two floors. Stay in luxurious rooms and suites. Unlimited branding opportunities. Regional Italian cuisine by Chef Mark Segrisi. Flexible event spaces. Full buyout options. Visit ahernhotel.com today.
I'm Jeff Gehrman, an investigative reporter with the Las Vegas Review-Journal. I'm your guide for Season 2 of Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas.
You're in with every gangster and hoodlum in the United States.
I don't go for that, Mr. Kennedy. I don't go for that kind of action.
I was on television accused of fronting for the mob.
Subscribe to Mobbed Up, The Fight for Las Vegas, Season 2, today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dad? Why are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
7 at 7 is available anytime, anywhere.
I'm Riley Smith with your Vegas Golden Knights. Watch 7 minutes of nonstop news from the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
Streaming on LVRJ.com and YouTube, powered by the Las Vegas Review-Journal.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers on our All Pundit Show with this great lineup. John Sandy IV is here, Amy Tarkanian, and Cheryl Blomstrom. So, Amy, I'll start with you. You got about a minute here. The importance in this race, in all races actually in Nevada, of the nonpartisans, because that number has grown so dramatically.
Mm-hmm. I think that's going to have to be the number one priority. That's going to have to be the section that they hyper focus on. historically, they do tend to lean to the right, but I think at this day and age, you have so many people legitimately upset with both sides. It's going to be interesting to see where their thought process is. So in order for these people to target for mailing or target for social media, this is going to be, I think, something we've never encountered.
Sure.
And yet, we still have a closed primary system. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to see those indies until the general, because they've chosen not to be affiliated with a party or another party. So we're going to have people from the GOP voting in the GOP primary, and people from the Democrats, same thing. So we're not going to see the impact of the indies until the general election, but you're absolutely right. That's going to be a huge piece of the general turnout.
Okay, John, unless there is a big push from the candidates to say register for a Democrat or register for a Republican to make your voice heard in the primary.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a rally cry, I'm sure, that will be made. But I think the way that politics are nationally, and especially here in the state, I mean, I think a lot of the independents are independents for a reason. And I think they will not likely affiliate themselves with a party. So I think I agree with Cheryl. I think the independent voters are going to be a huge key to the race, the ultimate race in the general. And you're going to have a smaller base of the GOP and a smaller base of the Democrat Party to elect who those two are going to be. I guess obviously not the in the governor's race. Not so far he will be unopposed, but yeah, I think the independents in the general are going to really determine the race at the end of the day.
Did Marilyn Kirkpatrick promise you that the governor's going to be unopposed? Just kidding. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. We'll not be with these guys. We're at the end of the show. Thank you all so much. Terrific show. We'll be right Sam. Back. Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Gustin Sports Productions is proud to bring cutting-edge broadcast and streaming capabilities to Northern Nevada with the introduction of our Spreader HD production truck. Hi, I'm Dan Gustin, and this state-of-the-art mobile video production truck arrives ready to work with live switching of up to 10 cameras, graphics, replay, room for a crew of four, ClearCom, broadcast booth, wireless remote for talent, live streaming, full HD recording, and much more. We can also help you staff the truck with our highly trained crew, or bring your own crew, and we'll make sure they have everything they need for a successful broadcast. The great thing about our Sprinter HD production truck is that it's mobile and can drive to your location. Outdoors or indoors, we have the live cable runs and equipment to meet your needs. It's perfect for sports, concerts, or any live event that you want to share in real time with an audience of thousands, or record for future broadcasts. Now you can broadcast regionally, nationally, or internationally at affordable rates. Gustin Sports Productions is the Northern Nevada leader in live event broadcasting, and we'd like to help your event receive the exposure it deserves. Please contact us at 775-742-3800. You can email us at gsp@gustincorp.com.
Watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. You can do that now these days. We'll see you on the next broadcast.